This is a cracking movie. It's getting rave reviews. I think most of us here at the table just loved it. It's got a look that is just wonderful. It's reminiscent of Chinatown in some ways. Just give us your, top of the line view of the whole movie, the Hollywood glamour scene and everything, the 60s.
Well, the whole thing was Kieran Scampola a gift to me because I'm such a fan and have always been of the 40s and the 50s. And I think, my father and I used to sit, and Alex and I had this in common, we used to sit in front of the television for hours with our daddies, and with our fathers and watch these old 40s and 50s films for years. And I think that's what I thought movie making was about. That's what I thought stardom was about, or movie stardom. I used to dissect these films. I used to watch them and say, look at how much preparation went into making this movie. Not only was it a beautifully written, but look at the care taken in the dialogue, in the wardrobe, in the hair, in the makeup, in the wardrobe. Some of the people, like the Evil Heads of the world, were famous as the actors themselves. So I just thought, wow. So what was my job? I used to ask myself. So my job is to first have a desire, then go to school and learn everything I could. So I moved to New York and I studied in L.A. And I said, and I'm a singer, so, I thought you had to learn to sing and dance. And so I'm doing my job. Then you get on a bus, and then you get off here, and you, start hitting the pavement and looking for a job. And I basically thought that that's the way it was going to unfold. But little did I know that times have changed. So this whole thing, from the very beginning, from preparing for this movie to the very end, to walking on the set and really being ready to film it, has been somewhat surrealistic.
You didn't grow up in that time, did you? You were a young woman then, but, did you kind of feel like you were back there in the movie when you were doing the movie and had that?
I look at movie stars that I equate movie starting with, the Prince of Crazy, the Heavens, just the great, just the Cary Grant. I know that they're gone now, they're gone now. But they were just so magical. Such a magical thing for me to watch those movies and to dream of becoming an actress. So I think from day one, and I hope I'm answering your question. If not, answer again. I'm losing my mind after this.
I guess my question was more like, did you feel like you were back in that time?
Oh, absolutely. You have to, and that frees you. I mean, with the hair and the makeup and the clothing and the preparation that it took every day to get into that character and to play, now you've seen the film, so I've played two women. I played Veronica Lake. I played Lynn Bracken. Absolutely. That's part of the gift and part of the freedom. The dialogue is such a gift, and to have that challenge, not only the physical challenge, but the challenge some of the work, every single day, not having the meat in your trailer and look at your script and go, we got to change this thing. I don't know what we're going to do, and just have it all on the page. It was there for everyone to pick up and run with the ball and just act. And we really had to pull out all the props, and everybody had to come up to par to make this film.
As an adult, would you like to live during that?
Excuse me?
As an adult, would you like to live during that?
The funny thing, I'm living when I'm supposed to be living. So I accept that, that's fine. I don't really wish to go back and live then. I'm sure some of the fantasy and all of it, life is still hard, and it's all basically the same. But I've chosen to live my life the way I want to, and I've sort of always been, I guess it's a corny phrase, but in a way, I've always sort of been real old-fashioned. I just have, and I take it or leave it, and that's just what I've done.
What was the character
that you really liked?
The character, really.
James Ellroy, number one. the script was beautifully written. And it's a rare opportunity that you get offered a character-driven piece from a backed-by studio. I mean, that's pretty rare these days, and really backed-by studio. Because early on, when I walked on the set of this movie, I knew we were making a special movie. I mean, not to foresee anything. I didn't know a critical eye that people was anything. I just knew we were having a great time, and everybody was so challenged by this movie. Everybody came to work with, really psyched every day. And there's so many movies you made, and I know there have been times in my life when I've rolled into doing a movie, and not that I don't give 100%, but you don't, sometimes you lose that enthusiasm, that ground zero, and did your first movie, and you go, or you're that kid again that got her first job because somebody gave you the opportunity. And you know something? That's the way to stop here. Now, Curtis Hanson alone, when he lured me into the Formosa Cafe that day, and he sat and he presented me with a visual presentation I've never seen in my life. Nobody's ever done this with me. And so someone else was just like Robert Mitchum when he got caught with smoking pot or something. You know, these beautiful old black and white photographs. And just presenting this whole thing, and I'm standing with this man, and he's telling me the story. I mean, just this visual thing that he had already, he's anything but wishy-washy. And this guy has made up his mind. And that's something that led me. So, somewhere, he knew who he wanted to play these parts. And I'm sure, I don't know this for that, but I think that, it always is, that I'm sure there was an argument about who he chose and some fights. But look, I mean, eclectic, I mean, to say the least, to get this ensemble cast together. And it was Kirk Hansen's belief. Total belief in everyone he chose. Because I've never had anyone sit down and say, you're playing this. Because you are. You are her. I haven't had anybody really, I mean, I've had wonderful experiences in my life with directors who believed in me and just, and I look at them and go, you're kind of shocked when somebody believes, and you go, but this man was just relentless. He just, that's it, you're it. So I went, I got my car, I said, no, what's just happening there? You know what I mean? So that was my job. I did this, and I knew I couldn't, it was too good a challenge to pass up.
So they explain your career, you even still get insecure, but when you take on a role, you say, well, Jesus, I'm going to discover that I can't do this after all.
The first night I went to work, I was shooting at night, and they'd been shooting for a little while, and that's always very hard to come in. Your first school day, somebody's the first day of school. Okay. I was so nervous. It was the scene at the liquor store, when she left. It was sort of shot in sequence for me, which was fantastic. But I was very nervous, but very grounded. I knew exactly who she was, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do with her. But I was still nervous. And I always think of Jack Lemmon when I think of, I'm not alone. I'm not even alone. I'm always nervous. I'm walking out of my trailer. And I remember Jack Lemmon said, he said the day he stopped being nervous, the day of court action. She said it was just or something, don't quote me on that because that's not after quote, but something along those lines for them to lose the fear for them to get good action. And I think that says a lot because I think it'll take you a long way, befriend your fear, but get out there and do it anyway. And Chris wouldn't even hear of it. When I look at Chris some days, I go, get over it. No sympathy. What about this? Get over it. God. Just stand there and go, okay, do it again. It was great.
The cast in this movie is wonderful, the guys, of course, Kevin Spacey and Russell Crowe, it doesn't stop, Everyone just brings this mood, and of course it was shot in that kind of a golden, hue to it, too, mm-hmm. which gives you that wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's
wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
You mentioned some of the physical challenges. What were they for you in terms of what was physical?
Well, just the mere fact that she had to be Veronica Lake by day. That's pretty hard, request. And so I loved I'd seen Veronica Lake too in movies. I saw I've seen on the other wish in room time, you know, always on video, and I've seen I had seen this gun for her. But I had not really discovered her, and I went and I saw everyone in her movies and I read everything I could get my hands on about her. And I discovered someone that sadly she left the business, you know, way too early. But I hope this movie rediscovers her, or I hope a lot of people rediscover her, because she's an incredible and very honest, very real, and such a good spirit and way ahead of her time. And I think that it's something she had on the screen that was in watching her and the wardrobe and just the look and everything. There's something she had, and I can't really put a finger on, I can't really, the word I just wanted to say, it's it. That it's it and everything, even the side of it. And I borrowed that. I borrowed that, I mean, her memory, because I really wanted to represent her accurately, as accurate as I could, as accurate as people will remember her, because more people remember her for her hairdo than they do for her acting ability or the person that she really was. It was an amazing moment.
Did anybody
ever
tell you
about that? Yeah. Well, Kurt Hansen I mean, you know the picture, you've seen the movie, so I don't know if they have a picture where I'm on the telephone and she's in the background. It was so enchanting. I mean, we just seemed to the whole thing's eerie. So I was telling the word, and the good thing about this is I'm basically the only girl in it, you know. So I was telling the word, and it would just be such a celebratory day, because those other days you could just shoot them up and dirty guy stuff, but I would walk on the set and they're like, I said, it was such a jovial thing. And every time he saw me, on the days that I was on the word, he'd say, thank God. That little, you know, just something girlish here and there, something away from the guns and the violence and the grit of it all.
At some point, when you reach this point in your career where, you know, you're a star and you get the star in there, do you have to get into a different head to make a decision to not get caught up in, like, initially you're part of an ensemble, you're going to be down, you're going to be part of an ensemble, it's a rabbit hole, you're going to be wearing. And some, there might be some people say, oh, I have to be the star, I have to be the camera, the camera, but obviously you don't, you know, she's going to be sure of it.
Oh, not at all. This is an honor to work with these men, so more the better. And the better they are than me. I mean, you know, it's the challenge. It's like what that David Price said. Put an actor in front of me is better than me. Only as good as me or better. Don't put anybody, you know, whatever. And I just think that's a great way to look at it. I'm always up for challenges. Somebody gives me an interesting idea. No matter who it's with or whatever, doesn't matter to me.
Can't watch your hand on the microphone.
Oh,
there's no you touch it, you can hear it in there.
It goes
right through the microphone.
Oh, I'm always doing something like that.
What are you talking about to touch?
No. If you've ever seen it, you know, I was doing Good Morning America one morning, and they put me on the kitchen set, which I thought we were going to cook. You know, they put me in a pool. So I ain't doing anything. And I'm going home, okay. And see, and just really like it. And the camera comes at me.
But
by the way, I'm not doing Woody Allen's speech because I had kid running problems. He asked me if I could do it for him. It was just a tiny little cameo. And had I had time, I really want to work with him. I love him so much. I was really looking forward, just like Altman. They're just icons, you know, and I'm dying to work with him. But we couldn't work out the scheduling problem because of the... It's just a whole different ballgame. This method is just a whole thing, and I just love to see what it's like to work with him. I love his movies. I love his movies. And I just, as a woman, I'd like to see how he how he does it. I mean, I don't know. I love watching Diane Keaton. I always love watching you, Carol. I think he, somehow people give extraordinary performances in his movies. They just do, and I wonder what that's about. Freedom? Trust again? You know, he seems like somebody who totally is just, he trusted and seems so much. And I love listening to people like that who are real solid about what they believe in. You know, when they make their choices, especially in cats, that they don't sit there and wonder if they're right or not. You know, that's very seductive.
How many movies have you made movies in New York? Have you shot in New York?
Oh, I made the most fun movie, 9½ Weeks in New York. I mean, where else could 9½ Weeks if they didn't tell you it's about New York?
What's it like to make a movie?
Well,
what,
that would be a good question.
Do you like doing movies in New York?
No. I love shooting. I'm with Woody there.
What is it about New York? I mean, Hollywood is where supposedly the movie capital, but
right.
Look, you know.
And for this particular movie, Fairly Confidential, it was a dream. It was masterful because we used all the locations. You didn't have to ever have to walk on a set. It was amazing. We used Lynn Berkman's house, Mimosa Cafe, every place you saw. Yeah, I guess they spooked up a little, but you know what I mean. They're all locations, they are.
But you can't do many movies like that in L.A., and this is just made to order for L.A.
Yeah, for L.A.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, somebody said, why is this a premiere in New York? I said, that really doesn't make any sense. It's always in L.A., I mean, it really is about L.A., you know, the opening is next week, and I think the same, it's there, whatever. But New York, I think New York is such a character that I love going up against her. I love her. And I just do. I love New York. I love her. New York is almost like a temperamental woman. I mean, she really is, because it's like you have to fight everything. The traffic, it's always got something soothing. If you go by the river, but something volatile in the middle, and something, you know, I don't know. There's always the sound of the sea, the children in the play yard. There's just something about it that you cannot mix in later.
There's so many colors.
It's you can't mix it in later.
How do you feel about LA? Yeah, this is a great LA for the corruption.
Well, I think this movie has a theme about life, really. Even more so than LA. I think it's about facade. And I think facade is important. I think we all have them. All of us. And I think it's important that we have someone we can also take that facade and shove it over to the side and be ourselves with too. But basically, I think facade's important. You walk out the door and you're not always yourself with everybody. It's about that. And I think the Lynn Barton character, I think for the first time, you know, I come on the screen, she's in that hood. Everything's mysterious. Everything's in shadow. Everything's not what it is. I mean, it's just met. And I think that's when she finds Bud White. And why he finds her, because he finds someone who will allow him to be himself and not that tough facade that we can show them. And he allows her to be something more than a sheep cooker, you know? It looks like Ron's voice.
You said something that made me kind of chuckle. You said that wasn't I an athlete, in fact, the most fun you ever had, and how you still have all these years, I'm sure people are still talking about that movie, and you still don't come to the fact that people would have started, you know, think back on that movie within 6 months.
You know what, the funny thing about it is, I love making 9½ Weeks. You know, Adrian and I had a really great relationship. It was a movie that I really had to dive into and do emotionally, and it was a true story. The sad thing about it is he shot about 14 hours, but I've got it all. And they shot it down to like few MTV versions, you know, kind of, they did, which was really sad because the characters were really well-written characters. And it was a really, really... I have a love-hate relationship with it because you really couldn't come out of that character very much. And I'm just not one to stay in any kind of character. I drop my purse, and then if they say rap, I'm out of there. You know, and I'm me again. I don't stay brooding all day, you know. I can't do that. But 9½ Weeks, I'm very, very proud of. And it's so much fans all over the world. I think it's so funny and terrible after all these years, but yes, I was like, insane. And yes, there were times in my life when I would have women run up to me on the street and say, I want you to teach me how to sound terrible. Well, no, we need some gun up on there. Okay, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Well, you know the scene when you look at it. Don't talk about it. You know, I have had really embarrassing moments on the streets from New York. People run up to me saying, I was just like, well, how did you do it? I mean, weren't you embarrassed? Not even worry about it. Okay? So, you know, some really strange moments of not having strange letters. Oh, my God. People who, you know, really think you're into X, Y, and Z or whatever. But overall, I'll tell you, it's like, how can you make a derogatory comment and there's none to be made about that or a movie, even like Never Say Never, it's a wonderful thing there in Disney. It introduced me internationally to the world. And then I had no idea the importance of that when I was doing it. So because of the movies like that, that's why you're known all over the world.
Is there a genre that directors don't see you doing that you'd like to do? Or haven't been asked to do it?
Oh, I think
horror or something like that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
You are a film. I'm not against that at all. I'm up for anything. Absolutely. It's always been fun. Opportunity is opportunity. And belief in someone or the vote of confidence is very rare. Because they keep using the same people over and over again. Once they've been given the opportunity and they've proven themselves, they use them over and over again. Over and over and over. And that's why I'm proud of having done this film. I'm proud of Curtis having stuck to his terms and saying, you know, I know what I want. Moving. And for the belief in you. And when you were talking about insecurity and all that, we're in an insecure game. We're in an insecure game. This is the most insecure thing in the world. My God. Of course, you want people to believe in you, and especially people who do the hiring. I mean, they're the ones. And I think early on, when you are somewhat typecast, your persona is more famous than you are. Nobody takes a chance in getting to know what you're even capable of doing. Your persona, in my case, my persona sort of outrode me. I mean, it just blew up as big as a good year's list, and it hangs over you, and you have no way to control that. Starting the phrase sex symbol early on in your life. You know, that's what I do. I can't even, there are times in my life when I could not articulate me, you know, or anything about myself because somebody would call me that and I'd go, okay.
Yeah. That's terrible. Yeah, go ahead. As journalists and there's human beings, we're all heading into a difficult weekend coming up here.
I think there's been so much speculation. I think the way we as a society have handled this up until this moment is sad enough. Her funeral has not even been held yet, and I really think that these days, I think we should all shut up and let the people who love her and who love her and her family, you know, have these days themselves and places to live. Get to a place where they can have it. And then, we'll come together on other subjects. But, man, until then, I just think this is in the boiling end of the situation.
It just got out of hand. Everybody is saying something, and it's just like it's okay.
I'm just creative people, and I'm just amazing. Especially in clients I have.
Yeah. It's interesting that L.A. Confidential was shot in the 50s, and the studio really controlled how the stars were perceived. True?
Excuse me.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, back in the 50s, which is the LA Confidential period, the stars, the studio controlled really how the stars were perceived.
Mm-hmm.
The photos were very fixed, yeah. Right?
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm driving at? Yeah.
You know, that's why I answered your question, that would I like to move back there? No, because we had the fun. I mean, I know just having read, you know, biographies and autobiographies and people's lives. Other studios can make it unpredictable with decision making. This is the way you have to live in order to become this at Plan B. And I would not have been willing to go there. I would not have been willing to give up my life. To have someone call me, I couldn't marry so-and-so, I couldn't be in love, I couldn't have children, I couldn't be English. I'm just not, I'm sorry. I'm just not, it's too big stakes for me to pay. And as much as I love Between Action and Cut, and as professional as I am, and as dedicated as I am to my work while I'm doing it, it's not right, you know, it's not worth it. So as far as back then, when they did that, yeah, and they there was a lot more damage control. Today it seems to be so out of hand. That's what publishers were for. Damage control. I remodel it out of state and make about this. But today I think people have just gotten so out of hand, it's just not such thing anymore. There's no control over so many.
But there's no saying that then people could follow you. Or, you know, they didn't follow you everywhere, right? Nowadays it's another world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me say one thing. You know, studios do. I have a take on this. I think in some situations, absolutely studios control some of the damage with the stars that they pick up, even today, big time. I think they do. I don't think it's handled the way it was years ago. But I definitely think there's just too much that goes wrong out there, or too much that perceived as wrong. Let's say that one, okay? So you know, that box office, gotta protect that box office. Anyway, thank you guys.
I hope you make it comfortable, but thank you very much for giving us a little something.
Thank you. Very much.